This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Oh God, we forget to give you thanks time and time again. And yet you beckon us to do so time and time again, no matter what. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very beings, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. We are so blessed to have St. Thomas Gospel Choir here with us this day. Yay! So we are going to try something here from memory, so loud and clear, if you remember, your response. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
God thanks and praise. Yeah. It's always right to give God thanks and praise, and we say this week after week after week after week. We gather around this table week after week for the great Thanksgiving, also called Holy Communion, also called the Eucharist. And Eucharist comes from that Greek word Eucharisto that means Thanksgiving. It's what we're about. It is really to be the center point of our entire week, right here, what we do around this table. A great Thanksgiving. And yet we forget that God wants us to give thanksgiving in the messy parts of our life, in the joyful, in the scary, in the uncertain. We are to give thanks to God Almighty, who is always with us, always with us. Amen. Here in South Florida, we have just experienced a brush with a lethal storm, which really could have gone either way. We prepared for the worst and hoped for the best, as they say. One of the most poignant behaviors that all of us notice, I'm sure, when things happen that are out of our control, is that we come together. Neighbors helping neighbors. Am I right? Yeah. Same thing happens after a big tragedy that we all experienced together, like had happened at 9/11. We came together. We become Christians in the highest sense of the word. It's beautiful. I love it. I was a bit uncomfortable, though. After the storm passed by, on Friday morning, I heard a comment again that I've heard over and over and over again since Matthew chose to pass us by. I had walked down to the ocean Friday late morning just to see what had gone on down there, and the water had come up really high, and one of my neighbors was there, and he said to me, "Now, was that a miracle or what?" I know that he was declaring that God had spared us this, but I felt unnerved to be declaring such a thing. Miracle? I don't think so. I couldn't help but think about the devastation in Haiti. And as Father Marty pointed out at 9:30, was it because they didn't pray enough? No. Was it because we prayed enough? No. Miracle? Because we didn't get hit. The God of our understanding doesn't pick and choose that way. Who's going to suffer in this storm? And yet, we surely do right to give thanks that we are safe. And we are. As Christians, then, most of us can't help but want to help others when we have gratitude like this. A young woman who's a member of our Unplugged community called me yesterday, and she's got a few weeks in between jobs, and she wants to go down to Haiti to help. And she wondered if I knew how she could do that. And so I put her in touch with Deacon Anita Thorstad, that some of you know from St. Gregory's. She lives down in Haiti a good part of the year, and she is the director of a small orphanage and a school there called K-Tumun in Bondo, Haiti, and works there through the South Florida Haiti Project. And I was researching her a little bit, and in a blog post that she had up last year, she writes of a woman who had deep thanks in the midst of her poverty. Her name is Claudette. She's a woman who carries a 5-gallon bucket of water on her head every day from the water source on the mountain down to Anita so that Anita can have fresh water to bathe in every day. She's so grateful to Anita and wants to provide this to her because there's no running water where they are. Anita first met Claudette over 2 years ago, and you'll see why she's so grateful. Claudette, you see, had run into devastation in her heart, in her soul, and she had left her 2 twin daughters, 2 months old, on Anita's doorstep, naked. So bereft was she that she couldn't feed her children. She didn't have enough milk in her body. So Anita went out the back door and found these babies. And she says, she writes, and I quote, "My first thought was that someone left their babies for me to care for. And I thought, who left these babies here?" In a few minutes, Claudette showed up from behind the bush. And Anita writes, "I looked closely then at the infants. 2 months old," she said. "I saw that they were skinny, looking undernourished." Claudette, too, was skinny and undernourished and didn't have enough breast milk for the babies. "It didn't take me but a moment to decide to feed these babies. I bought baby formula at the store and baby cereal." Claudette couldn't afford it, obviously. She brought her twins by every morning to Cave to Moon. I'd mix the formula and cereal, and one of the other children in the orphanage would feed the babies. Soon they started to fill out and gained weight. They grew into happy, healthy 6-month-olds, sitting up, cooing, and smiling. I don't know what she would have done with the twins had we not fed the babies. They probably would have become a Haiti statistic. 2 more children with malnutrition. End quote. So Claudette, a young, desperate mother, is so grateful that she not only brings water every day to Anita, but she helps out at the orphanage wherever she can. Gratitude expressed, now giving back. She came back. Last March, in our mission trip to the Dominican Republic, we were painting several houses in a little village called Gautier for members of a church there with whom we partner, Santo Tomas. And one neighbor, we were inside painting in this little house. It was really a shack with, you know, dirt floors, no running water, no bathrooms. And a neighbor next door, whose home we had painted the year before, was so grateful that we had come back that she came over with a tray of café au lait. Well, I guess you'd say that, right? Café con leche, yeah, café au lait, and brought it to us, and we couldn't believe it. This woman who has nothing had to come with a smile just beaming on her face to give back. She was so grateful that we had remembered their village. Out of gratitude, she came back. And so did the Samaritan in our gospel story today. Hear an adaptation by Paul Thigpen. Each one of the 10 had a tale of personal horror to tell, but the stories were all the same. The nightmare had crept slowly across their bodies, white patches, lumps in the skin, and then the numbness had crawled up their limbs, stealing the feeling from fingers and toes. Finally, the faces had grown disfigured beyond recognition, and all that remained of the feet were crippled nubs, Worst of all were the jeers from the children in the village when they would pass by. Lepers, they screamed, spitting out the word like a curse. So long ago, these 10 had been young and vibrant, healthy, well-to-do, full of desires and dreams. But that seemed like another world, another lifetime. Now they were the walking dead. One morning, as they approached yet another village in which they could beg, the crowds were cheering the name that for months had spread like a whispered wildfire through the leper colony. Jesus, Jesus is here. The leper healer from Nazareth stood by their village well, not far from the twisted outcasts, and he was looking their way. So all at once, 10 hoarse voices erupted in unison. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. He smiled at them. The first smile turned in their direction for many years and said simply, "Go show yourselves to the priests." He hadn't even touched them. The 10 examined one another. Clearly nothing had changed. Were they once again the butt of a cruel joke? One of them, a Samaritan, turned back to the road, set his face toward Jerusalem and the temple, and motioned for his comrades to join him. "If the priests throw me out," he said, "then let the crowd stone me. What's left to live for? Let's go and try. See if what he says is true." He hobbled down the dusty path, his crutch making holes in the scorched clay. And as the others followed, the miracle came. They were cleansed suddenly, totally, unconditionally. 9 men shouted and raced down the road like boys in a game, peeling off their rags to welcome the sunshine on their now childlike skin. They never even looked back, never saw again the face whose light had dawned on their darkness and ended their nightmare. But one man, the Samaritan, spun around, ran to Jesus and flung himself at his feet. This man who was scorned even before he had leprosy, just because he was a half-breed to most. Tears spilled down his cleansed cheeks. He looked up, trembling, and whispered 2 words. "Thank you. Thank you." Our gratitude completes the circle. We find that in giving thanks, we give, and then we receive, and we give thanks again. And it becomes a circle within itself. And it takes practice. It takes practice. I remember when I was teaching here in the school, in my 3rd grade class, it was around Thanksgiving time, and I did an exercise where I asked the kids to just say one thing they were thankful for. And they were usually really responsive, and they looked at me like I had asked them to name all the presidents in the world. And so I waited. I said, "Just one thing." And finally, after a really long wait, a little boy looked down at his new shoes, and he said, "New shoes." I said, "Great." And I waited. Then somebody else said, "My new baby brother." And then somebody else chimed in, and then somebody else, and then somebody else, and then somebody else, and it became contagious, and then I couldn't stop them. Gratitude takes practice. Think of one thing right now that for which you are grateful and shout it out. Family. Is that it? Look at the smiles around you. In the midst of whatever you're going through right now, you are smiling. And that gratitude opens our hearts to hear the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. And we are healed. We are healed. In closing, I'd like to read to you a prayer that is an adaptation I did from 2 poems I hope they don't mind. R.S. Thomas and Andy Rain. Let us pray. Dear God, we have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while and gone our way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had the treasure in it. I realize now that life is not about hurrying on to an unknown future, nor wishing for an imagined past. It is turning aside like Moses to the miracle of a lit bush, to a brightness that is the eternity that waits us now. May we go rejoicing on our way as we help others in gratitude. May light spill out of heaven through our lives. Amen.